Hello, my name is Nat, and I am the engineer here at the Heritage Radio Network. As you may or may not have heard, we broadcast out of a studio in the back of Roberta's Pizzeria in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And while I did not construct the actual shipping container-based place itself, I designed and built the studio part of the studio, meaning the audio and broadcasting aspects of it. So the purpose of this show today is for me to share with you, the listener, how I, the engineer, built this, the radio station, and hopefully you can take that knowledge and maybe even build your own radio station someday. I'll also be playing some music that I made, because when I'm not engineering at the Heritage Radio Network, I like to make music and DJ it. So that'll be fun too. I'm sitting here with Marcel Pallet.
Hello.
Marcel is an actress and a clothing maker.
just a hobby.
So today, going to be part one of a multiple part series, How to Build a Radio Station. So,
that was a good song.
Thank you. Today, we're going to deal with the preparation aspect of how to build a radio station, or rather, how I built this radio station. Obviously, the first thing you're going to want to ask yourself is you're going to say, myself, what do I want to do with this radio station?
That's a good name, myself, isn't it?
Yes, and that's a good question.
I would name my kid that.
That's a good question, you. First, you're going to want to turn off your cell phones, and that includes our producer, Lorenzo. Second, you're going to want to ask yourself, straight up, how am I going to broadcast this? The answer probably is going to be on the internet. Because, frankly, if you broadcast on FM or AM with some kind of a pirate broadcasting device, i.e. a short-range broadcasting thing, the FCC will arrest you and charge you exorbitant amounts of money and put you in jail. To archive material. People don't have the time to wait for you to do your show, to listen to your show, and they'd rather just have it plop into their iPod via podcast. That being said, some people think that live broadcasting is a very important part of the station, as does the guy who runs this, the Heritage Radio Network, Patrick. So, if you're going to stream live, there's a couple options you have. The idea of streaming live is that you're creating an MP3 live, and it's being put piece by piece on the internet. For people to get that MP3 that's being created in real time, they need to get it off a server, and as a result, you need to get a server. That can be pretty expensive. There are a lot of services out there that will basically host your stream for you, which means you give them an MP3 as you create it, and they put it out on the internet for people to get. And that can be pretty expensive, upwards of hundreds of dollars a month. What you're paying for is you're paying by the quality of broadcast. So basically, you know, 96 kilobytes per second, 128 kilobytes per second. And you're paying by the number of simultaneous connections, which is the number of people listening at once. Right now, I'd say there are about 2.300 million listeners. But because we're broadcasting out of this very space, it doesn't cost us money. What we're doing is basically sending a stream to our web space, which we already pay for, and then letting people pick it up off of there. That's not going to be an option for most people because we've got super sexy business internet where we get a megabyte and a half of upload speed. So that's $600 a month, I think, in internet costs. So while it enables us to not have to pay for a stream hoster, it also means we're paying a lot for internet. If you're an academic organization, chances are you've got a very big, sexy server of your own to host student email or whatever you're doing. So you will find it easy in a situation like that to use your server to host a stream because you've already got a big-ass server. And if you're crazy, you can start your own server that's like strictly a server. And I don't really know a lot about that, but you can do that. I mean, we're just broadcasting off a normal iMac with QuickTime Broadcaster. But if you wanted to set up your own server and like run the web space itself from your house, you can do that too.
Can people pick that up on their like car radios?
No, sadly, they can't.
That stinks.
I know. But, you know, in the future, in the not-too-distant future, I think.
When Barack Obama gets his hands on it.
Right, exactly. Barack's going to be like, you know what? Internet connections in cars. Bam. And we'll have internets in our cars. So the next thing you want to think about is, who's going to be using my station? How many shows am I going to have? What's my budget? Am I going to have, you know, heavy-duty playlist software that tracks all the songs that people play or not? All stuff you need to think about, because if you're going to have a lot of people coming into your radio station other than you, you're going to want to get some durable ass equipment that can withstand the beatings that people will give your equipment.
Is ass a technological term? Or
ass is the most technological term.
Sexy ass radio station.
Sexy ass internets.
Sexy ass internets, big ass radio station.
That's right.
Yes. Interesting.
Yeah! Okay, so the final thing you want to think about is, what is your telephone situation going to be? Because telephones are a big part of radio. And as an engineer, that makes me sad because telephones are not fun to work with in the realm of audio. Telephones are 100-year-old technology, and they haven't changed much since then. And it's hard to get audio and telephone signals to happily be married. That being said, if you want to call people on your show, if you want people to call in on your show and be on the air, you need what's called a telephone hybrid. A telephone hybrid takes telephone signal and changes it to audio signal, which is, you know, voltage. And that's about all it does. So we'll get into more on that later. Finally, your mixing board is probably the biggest gear decision you'll make besides the telephone decision. And that brings us to our next section, which is the gear one needs to buy to run a radio station. We're going to take a quick break and listen to a song. This is Space Disease, and the song is called Dumbo's Clot. Welcome back to How to Build a Radio Station. My name is Nat. This is Marcel next to me.
Hello.
If you're just tuning in, we're telling you how to build a radio station.
It's really interesting.
So, this is part two of today's show, and this is what gear one needs to buy to build a radio station. And we're, of course, looking at it through the lens of the recent past wherein I built a radio station, and that's where I am right now. So I'm going to tell you what I put in this radio station and thereby make recommendations as to what pieces of gear I think are good and which ones are bad. First of all, as I mentioned before, your mixing board is going to be your biggest gear purchase. I went with a company called Wheatstone, and they're also called Audio Arts, and I don't really understand what the difference is, but they've got two names. And they, I chose them because, first of all, I've seen them in a lot of other radio stations. They're a industry standard, so to speak, and they're everywhere. And people seem, other than me, seem to enjoy them. They recently, in the past 6 months or so, came out with a thing called Air, a new kind of board called Air. There's the Air 1 and the Air 2 Plus.
Do they run on air?
They don't run on air. I wish they ran on air.
Being environmentally friendly.
That's right. We're all about the green movement here at Roberta's and Heritage Radio Network. I'm, of course, talking about leprechauns. So I went with the Air series of mixers. There's the Air 1, which is tiny. It's a little guy with quarter-inch outputs and only 8 channels. And frankly, he was too little for this station, because we're a big deal.
Much like leprechauns.
Right. It's a little leprechaun-sized mixer. Air 2 Plus. Now, that's what we went with. And it's different from the Air 1 in a lot of ways. First of all, it has balanced outputs. It's got 12 channels with A-B switches on each channel, which means you can plug two things in at once and switch them. That's right. And it's also got a mix minus out, which basically you use in conjunction with a telephone hybrid. And we'll get more on that later. But a mix minus basically means everything except for the caller signal, the telephone caller signal. And we'll get into the specifics on that. I know you can't wait until we get into what a mix minus feed is. So the Air 2 is, I like it. It's been pretty reliable so far. It's got, you know, two program outputs. It's got a control room out, which, you know, it's got all sorts of muting logic. It's got a headphone jack. That's nice. Good to have headphones.
Yeah, definitely.
It's got a studio out with more muting logic and so forth.
I'm wearing headphones right now.
That's right. That's how important headphones are. And it also, what else? It's got some other stuff.
You know what I realized? Since you told me to turn off my cell phone, it means you can't Twitter while you are doing a radio station.
We've got computers in there, though, right?
But they're very, very far away.
Yeah, it's true. So, moving on, what I don't like about the Air 2, frankly, I'm not going to hold back here either.
Don't. We want to hear your real opinion.
Okay, well.
On the Air 2.
The Air 2 has rear outputs for program A and program B, and inputs for the mix minus in and out. Ew. And mic 1 and mic 2 inputs are all hardwired, which means you have to cut the end of the cable and, like, separate.
I was here when you did that.
Yeah, oh, man, it's such a pain in the and, I mean, I know that that's, like, professional-level stuff for, like, radio stations that are, you know, big industrial radio stations, but it's like really annoying to work with. Sometimes it'll get jostled loose and I gotta go back there and get a screwdriver and
mess
around.
I saw two grown men cry trying to make the wire.
One of them was me.
To the other thing.
I was weeping, and then Jack Inslee actually came in here and started weeping.
Yeah. Oh, he was bawling.
He was, yeah,
red faced.
A step up from weeping is bawling.
Red.
So, you know, okay, I make the concession that that's an industry thing, but I'd rather just get cables I can plug in and then unplug if it gets old. Anyway,
The other board I looked at. Now, the Wheatstone Audio Arts is a little bit expensive. I'm not going to lie. It's a little bit expensive. The AEQ Bravo TT was the other board I looked at, and it's less expensive. It's got 4 mic inputs, unlike the 2 mic inputs on the Audio Arts. And it's also, get ready for this.
I'm ready.
It's got 2 telephone hybrids built into it.
Holy. Yeah. That's good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is good. However, I didn't go for it. And you might say, why didn't you go for it?
Why didn't you go for it, Nat?
I'm glad you asked that question. The Wheatstone Audio Arts, not only is it the industry standard and people would recommend it more as being more durable, but the 2 hybrids built in don't really save you money, because with a telephone hybrid, you need something that is good quality and reliable.
When you say durable, does that mean you can throw it if you get mad?
I think that I could probably throw this board and it would be okay. At least once. Yeah. Well, I mean, if this show...
It'd be good for Rush Limbaugh.
That's right. If this show doesn't go well, we might even get into that.
Rush Limbaugh should get one of those boards.
Rush Limbaugh should get a show on the Heritage Radio Network.
Oh, I wish he would throw things on his radio show.
He's such a good... I mean, I know he loves the Green Movement and...
No, he likes the Oxy movement.
He likes the, yeah. He doesn't move around that much at all, I actually suspect. So the AEQ Bravo TT, I didn't get it because the 2 hybrids built in, frankly, you need a better hybrid than whatever hybrid comes with that 8 thing. And even though it has 2 and it's like convenient, you know, you just plug the telephone in, you've already got these telephone hybrid signals mixed in. You don't need that mix minus stuff. I just felt like it would be the more responsible choice to get the Wheatstone and get the telephone hybrid that I got, which we'll get into later. So next we need microphones, right?
The things you talk into.
The things you talk into.
They're most important.
Is this thing on? I went with the RE20. Electro Voice RE20. And that's what I'm speaking on right now. The nice thing about these, besides the fact that they're, again, the industry standard, is they're made for broadcasting, which means they have a built-in pop filter for plosives. And while, okay, I am popping a little bit, I'd be popping a lot more without this internal pop filter. It also is made for the construction of the mic is as such that you can get very close to it without a lot of microphone tip-up. And a microphone tip-up is when... you get close to the mic and the signal changes in a bad way.
I think you just like it because your radio voice comes out with these mics.
It certainly does.
It's soothing.
Thank you. And it does give you a radio voice, more so than other mics. The other mics I got, in addition to the RE20s, are much cheaper, but they're kind of built to be comparable with these, and they're called Procasters, built by Rode. And they are...
We have some of those on the desk, right?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to plug one in a moment. Marcel's going to take it out of the bag.
It's in a box.
It's in a box.
Oops.
So these are two good mics. RE20s, much more expensive than the Rodes. However, that being said, you can get them on eBay used because there's so many of them.
It's heavier. It's heavy.
So right now I'm speaking to you on the Rode Procaster.
Nice tone.
Yeah. Now you can hear that there's more plosives, not as much of pop filter as the other one. But it's a little bit, I think it's a little bit, running a little bit hotter than the other one. You know, it's a little louder and warmer. And this is me getting close to it.
And I'm still on the other mic, so tell me whose voice you like better.
That's right.
I'm
the cheaper mic right now. So, moving on, you're going to need a mic stand or clamp for your microphone. Now,
can you get this clamp at the hardware store, or do you have to get a special
clamp? Oh, no, you got to get a special clamp. Uh-huh. You got to get it from wherever you got the microphone, chances are. Thank you, Marcel. Now, the mic holder things for the RE20s, they cost $100 and you have to construct them yourself. Kind of absurd.
That sounds hard.
The mic holder things for the Procasters are like $35, and they are just one single piece of stuff, which is great, except for one of them that we have broke, and you can't really fix it, unlike the RE20 ones, which you can fix because you build it yourself. So that's that. In terms of mic arms, you need something to hold up the mic thing, right? So I actually went out and got...
What's the mic thing? Can you be more specific?
Mic Shock mount is the official term, I think. The shock mount.
Oh.
So if I like try hit this mic and shock it, it won't be shocked because it's mounted so
that,
well.
That's for when Rush Limbaugh gets really mad.
That's right. When he, that's right. Okay. okay, so I got the Rode. Actually, I think Rode built these mic arms. They're called the Broadcast something. The Rode Broadcast Arm, I think they're called. And they're actually made specifically for these Procasters, but you can get a little separate thing that comes with it and attach the RE20s to them. And I like them. They're very cheap compared to the other ones that you can get, which are like hundreds of dollars. And they seem to be holding up the mics all right.
Yeah, any definitely. Yeah. You can swing it and just stays.
Marcel's a swinger.
Don't spread dirty lies.
Okay, so originally in our budget for this radio station, we had turntables and a mixer written in. As a DJ, obviously, I'm a fan of turntables and a mixer.
I think everybody is.
I think everybody.
That was born in the 80s.
I see a lot of ads for, like, you know, Bacardi, and there's always, like, a DJ in it, you know?
Oh, yeah, and he has his, like, hand up to his ear.
Yeah, he's got his hand up to his ear. And so, you know, people like DJs, at least people that want to buy rum. Okay, real quick, turntables, Techniques 1200s, no doubt about it. There's all different kinds of them. You can get the M3D, you can get the Make 2, Mark 2, whatever. They're all.
But don't buy the ones at Urban Outfitters because they're not real.
Don't. That's good advice. Don't get them at. Don't get your turntables at Urban Outfitters.
No.
And if you do get turntables, get 1200s. In terms of a mixer, if you really want to, first of all, play music on your station, and you're going to be inviting DJs from, you know, around town, if you want your DJs, your guest DJs to love you, get a Rain TM57SL.
Around town, that's like a term that my grandma used in the 50s. Where
I've,
are you?
I've got some shocking news for you. I'm your grandma.
Oh, that's why you're so ugly.
We finally figured it out. So a Rain TM57SL, why is it so great? Because it comes with Serato built into the mixer. And if you tell a DJ, hey, come on my radio station, and he uses Serato, it's going to be good news when he doesn't have to bring his own Serato box. However, those things are $1,500, so they're expensive. Serato just came out with the SL3, if you've already got a mixer. And the SL3 can actually play 24-bit audio, which is really exciting, and I'm excited about that. And I kind of want to go get it, even though it's expensive. But that means if you're a producer, you can get your 24-bit waves out and play it for people. Amazing. That's amazing. Anyway, if you can't afford a 57, maybe you can get a 56, because a Rain makes a TTM56, and that's pretty much, you know, one of the few gold standards for mixers. If that's too expensive, which probably is, the Empath mixers by Rain are really good for a radio station environment, especially because they have a third channel. And with a third channel, if you've got a guy that comes in and he wants to plug in his sampler over his turntables or his Game Boy or whatever this guy is doing, or gal, an Empath is cheap and it's, you know, Rain quality and it's got a third channel, and that's exciting. Moving on, CD players. Every radio station is going to need at least one CD player. And I would say, unequivocally, you got to get something that plays MP3s as well. Because if you've got a show pre-recorded, and let's say it's more than an hour, you need to play it as an MP3. Because a single CD is not going to cut it. It just ain't going to cut it.
My mom wouldn't like that.
Ain't?
I said my mom wouldn't like that, you know?
Me using the word ain't?
No. A CD player that is not a CD player. But an MP3 player.
Well, it plays CDs, too. It plays CD MP3s. You know, like, so you burn MP3s on a CD, and then it plays the MP3s.
Sounds a little newfangled.
It's actually kind of old-fangled, but it's still, you know, it's still recommended by me, the engineer. What I went and did is I got a rack mount DJ-style CD player. Not like a CD DJ, which is, like, you know, the things with the big circles that DJs use, house DJs use. Let's be honest.
The thing with the big circles?
Yeah, you know, like some house DJs that don't use turntables, or like, you know, whatever DJs. I'm just making fun of house DJs.
Oh, it's like it's like an insider joke.
Okay, so it's not the CD DJ style of turntable or CD player, but rather the like kind of like, you know, wedding DJs use them. It's like two CD players next to each other, and you hit, they're like rack mount, and you hit a button, and like this slot comes out.
Is it the one where they like turn, like the five CD, and they get in, like, no. Spin? You're just like, oh, it went back, and
it's not a five CD changer, but it's, you know, two.
Oh, okay. Yeah, totally.
Totally. Okay, so anyway, I got a Newmark, and, you know, there's so many versions of this thing, and they're all basically the same. I would just say don't get a Gemini. But, you know, it's a CD player with that comes...
Don't date a Gemini, either.
Don't date a Gemini. It's a CD player that comes rack mount. You know, the play buttons and the actual CD input thing are separate. And it gives you pitch shifting and looping and the ability to play MP3s, all of which you might need at a radio station. And like stutter start and, I don't know, all sorts of weird stuff. You know, people don't really use CDs anymore, but at a radio station, you're going to be using CDs.
That's it, folks. I mean, you got to use them.
Got to use them. Okay, so you're going to potentially, I did, need a preamp for the microphones. Now, this, you know, the Air 2 board, it came with two built-in preamps, as most of these boards do. But we need four microphones because we've got that many personalities.
Serious businesses going on around here.
Here on the Heritage Radio Network, we've got so many...
serious business people.
Serious business people that need to come in and shoot the breeze. That we need four microphones, which means I went out and got a ART dual channel tube preamp. Why did I get a tube preamp? I'm not really sure, but I did, and I hoped it would sound good, and it does sound good.
And you also need chairs for them.
Chairs for them, that's true.
That's a main concern.
So
no one wants to stand and do a talk radio show.
We're a lazy country. So I like ART, Applied Audio, Applied Research and Technologies, I think that stands for. They make cheap yet reliable gear, and this thing, it's got tubes, it's got something called, wait, I'm gonna read what it says because it's actually really funny. It's a two-channel preamplifier with V3 variable valve voicing and OPL output protection limiting.
That was funny.
Thank you.
Nice sound effect.
Thank you. That was actually not a sound effect. That was me. So what does that mean? It means it's got two kinds of compression, basically. And it's got various, like the OPL is one kind of compression and the V3 is a different kind. What does that mean? It means that for broadcast purposes, it's actually pretty good because, you know, in addition to just kind of like general compression, it'll give you nice sort of pumpy broadcast compression that works pretty well. And I put the Rhodes through the ART to give it a little more buttery edge. And as a result, the Rhodes basically sound like the microphones we're on right now.
Buttery edge is kind of an oxymoron.
I guess so. Buttery slickness.
Yeah, that's better.
Moving on. okay.
Cutting.
Editing this out. Okay, next, you're going to need a telephone hybrid, which, you know, I've been alluding to this whole time, and now is the time to actually talk about it, whether you're ready or not. So, what does a telephone hybrid do?
I don't know. What does it do?
I thought you knew. Okay, so what it does is it takes the telephone signal, changes it into voltage, which is, you know, what all audio is. It's just electricity going through wires. So what you'll do is you'll plug your telephone into this thing. You'll plug a wire going out from your mixing board,
And all of your signals, your microphones, your CD, music, everything will go into this box.
That's convenient.
It is pretty convenient. And then it'll go from the box, be transformed into telephone signal, and go onto the telephone lines. Now, there is, besides the fact that telephone telephony is 100 years old and not really made for audio, the tricky part is that in one signal, the telephone signal, the caller's voice and the callee's voice are in the same signal, and they can't be separated. So what most nice digital hybrids do, or analog hybrids, well, they're, I guess they're all digital, is they have a DSP algorithm, which is digital sound processing algorithm, which basically tries to guess where the voices separate, and it separates them. So it subtracts, you know, one of the caller's voice from the signal, so you can get like a clean balance. So at first, what we used was a JK Audio broadcast host, and this is a one-line hybrid. This thing was pretty good. It was very cheap. You know, it's certainly the best at its price point, at like $450.
Yeah, in this economy.
Yeah, tell me about it, man. The broadcast host, it's like really good, I think, if you're like a journalist who needs to record telephone calls for interviews or whatever, but in a broadcast situation, it just wasn't working that well. All the calls sounded different. I mean, one of the many hard things about doing telephony is that every time you connect with a caller, it's a different quality of signal. It's not the same thing ever. It's not reliable. So we actually upgraded to a Telos 1x6, and this thing is cool because it's got a lot of different kinds of DSP algorithms going on inside. It's got one to separate the caller from the callee, but it also has one that is basically a compressor, meaning it picks the signal up when it's quiet so that they're all around the same level, which is loud. It runs pretty hot. It's also got a thing called override, which basically is another kind of compressor that kind of drowns out the caller's voice if the host is talking, which means that it's easier for them to control the conversation. They can't get cut off by some crazy guy calling in and so forth. And 1x6 refers to the fact that up to 6 lines can go in it at a time. Now, can you conference with this thing? Good question. I'm glad you asked that.
Thanks.
You're welcome. You can, but it's not the most ideal situation. When you conference with this thing, meaning you call someone up, lock them in, call someone else up, like a conference call, it's called button mashing. It's an industry term.
It's also a gamer term.
That's right. It's Soul Calibur. It's the Soul Calibur of telephone hybrids.
More Street Fighter.
Ooh.
It's kind of hard to button mash on Soul Calibur.
Oh, you're crazy. It's so easy to button mash on Soul Calibur.
Ow.
I wish we were playing Soul Calibur right now, frankly.
And then I would show you all of my good moves and kill you.
Ooh, is it hot in here or is it just me? So the Telos, it's got the override, it's got the compressor, and you can button mash, you can conference. That being said, a more ideal situation, if you're conferencing a lot, which we're not yet, but I think someday we will be, if you're conferencing a lot, you probably want to get one hybrid per telephone presence. Meaning if you call two people at once, you want two hybrids. You know, right now we've only got one show that really conferences, and so far they've been okay. But in the future, we'll probably set up a system where you've got two hybrids going. What do you lose in that situation? You lose some of your screening capabilities on the Telos, has been our experience. So right now we're keeping just the Telos, and we button mash away. So the basic signal chain of a telephone hybrid is as follows. Oh, there's a keg in the room.
Okay, yeah!
Okay, so you've got your telephone line going into the telephone hybrid. It's got the two signals together. It then gets separated, and the caller's voice is sent to the mixing board. And it goes in the mixing board and comes up as the caller channel, meaning that's the caller's voice. The mixing board then sends out through its mix minus out, meaning all channels except the caller's voice, it goes out into the back into the telephone hybrid. And the telephone hybrid receives this mix minus out, you know, the microphones, the CD players, and sends it over the phone line to the caller. so the caller can hear everything you're doing in the radio station. What you're paying for then is, in our case with the Telos, the DSP that separates the caller and the callee, the DSP that compresses the signals so it's loud, the override compression thing, and the ability to have multiple lines at once. And that costs about $2,000. With the Telos, you buy the module and the switchboard for the module. And unfortunately, you can't operate one without the other. So you're locked into buying both things. While it's, you know, expensive, especially for someone on a budget, it is basically the industry standard in terms of telephone systems. The Telos is modular, just like a lot of the mixing boards that Wheatstone and Audio Arts make, meaning they sell them in little pieces and you put them, you buy the pieces and put them together depending on what you need for your station. Modular units are usually not going to be what someone on a budget buys. Those are for, you know, academic or commercial broadcast situations. Or churches. Finally, all this stuff's going to go in a power supply. And the power supply is really important because it's going to clean up your power. So, you know, if you have power spikes, it doesn't damage your gear. It doesn't show up on the air. And it's going to regulate the power. So if there's a lightning strike, if lightning strikes, all your stuff doesn't get effed up. We went with a Furman power supply because, again, I see those everywhere in broadcast / academic situations. It's really cheap, and it has been doing good so far. Finally, the last piece of gear we're going to talk about today. Actually, no, the penultimate piece of gear we're going to talk about today.
I love that word. Such a good word.
It's a good word. We're talking about the sound effects box. Now, you might say, why do we need a sound effects box? I mean, I'm not corny like you are, Nat. And I would say, first of all, I'm not corny. Second of all,
we gotta wait for that guy to fully break. He just came into the studio. Okay, he's done now.
Okay, so, I mean, first of all, if you're doing a radio station, and I'm talking about a station here.
Like the real thing. This is the real thing.
It ain't nothing like the real thing. You're gonna need to play stuff that's pre-recorded regularly, meaning station IDs. You're listening to WMARCEL.
What?
That's your radio
station. That's not how you spell my name.
MARCEL.
E-L.
L.
L.
E.
E. It's like a girl.
Oh. Oh, Marcel.
Yeah, Marcel.
Okay, I take it back. Or, you know, you've got advertisements, as they say. You've got, you know, drops by celebrities like, hey, I'm Keith Richards and you're listening to WMARCELLE. So all of those things you want to have at hand. If you've got a lot of money to burn, the industry standard is an instant replay, which is a hard disk recording device. It's got a whole ass load of time.
Another technological term.
That's right. A whole lot of space for CD quality audio, which you put in and it stores it digitally. And you can trigger. It's got 50 or more hotkeys on the front for all these little triggers. A lot of hip-hop DJs use them. They play beats from there for their rappers. Those are really expensive. And they're kind of strange to work with sometimes. And you have to like hook them up to software to load stuff. But they were, you know, they work really well. Again, industry standard, yada, yada, yada. If you don't want to spend all that money, because you probably don't need all that space, all that recording time, just get a phrase sampler. My favorite phrase sampler and the thing I started making music with when I was
very young
is a Zoom sample track.
And that's good.
It was amazing. Oh, my God, I loved it so much.
Yeah, my friend had one of those.
And they don't make them anymore, I don't think. I'm like 99% sure they don't make them anymore.
eBay,
or you can get, we got, you know, the Roland, the sample track doesn't exist anymore because Roland came out with the SP-202 and people bought that for whatever reason instead of the sample track. Now they have the SP-404, which is what we got for the station, and that's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 banks of 12 pads.
And it's, you can do CD quality, and it's got, you know, a card reader. So you put your samples on the card, load it in, and before you know it, you're doing that.
Wait, you should do it again, but then press 11. Before you know it,
you're taken off.
Yeah. Taken off.
Your clothes. Okay, so finally, the last piece of gear we're going to talk about, and this is something that we sort of have, is any outboard gear that you're going to want to modify your signal. Meaning, you know, when you are broadcasting over the radio and you've got all these different voices and musics and so forth, you want to make it all the same volume so that people can hear you. Because, let's face it, internet streaming / AM FM radio is not the most clear signal in the world. So you want to make everything pretty much as loud as possible while making sure that nothing is too loud. So what does that mean? It means you're probably going to want a compressor or something like an expander, which is basically like a gate / volume increaser. All of those things will make all your levels about the same and make sure you're as loud as possible. You know, compressors are obviously very popular for broadcasting. We have the compressors built into our ART preamp. We've also got a compressor built into our sound card, which we stream online with. It's an Eterol something sound card, UA something. And that's got a built-in limiter / compressor. And more than anything, you're really going to want a limiter, especially if you're streaming live. Compressor will obviously modify the tone of your station, so if you're playing a lot of music, you may not want that. But it's something to think about, and a limiter is pretty necessary. Aphex makes a lot of really good compressors that I've seen in a lot of broadcast situations. If you've got a whole lot of money to spend, you can get something like AirTools Voice Processor, which has like a million different things like de-essers, compressors, and you can actually save banks of like all the effects you use. So if you've got 50 on-air personalities, you can have 50 presets that you use for each person. And then if you've got, don't have a lot of money, you know, there's like DBX and ART, and those guys make cheap, good quality compressors.
You'd also just have a sign that says keep all voices to indoor.
That's right. Make sure indoor everything voices is exactly the same.
If you volume can't afford a compressor, just put up a sign.
Right.
Indoor voices, please.
Indoor voices. So just to as a quick glance back, we went over microphones and mic stands. Mm-hmm. You know, board is the heart of your station, so you got to think a long time about that.
Shock protectors or whatever these
right
are called.
Shock mounts for the mics.
Shock mounts.
Preamps and maybe compressors built in or separate. You got your telephone hybrid, maybe that's built into your board.
Chairs,
you're going to sit on those. Turntables and mixers for the turntable. Sound effects machine, which we do have. Power supply to clean up the electricity. And you know, all the outboard gear
that electricity
and any outboard gear. So that's, you know, all the components of basic components of a radio station. Those are the ones we've got here, and all you need is a large lump sum of money, preferably,
and love.
You need a lot of love. You could go out and steal this stuff, or
don't steal it from us, though.
Don't steal it from us. That's right. We got
cops,
attack dogs
outside.
We're breeding an army of attack dogs. And
they're fierce.
Fierce.
Oh, they're coming. Oh, they look so scary.
Yep. And you're gonna need put a lot of signs in your radio station, and a clock. You're gonna need a clock
to tell you what time it is.
That's right. So next week, we're going to be talking about the construction and running of a radio station, putting all this stuff together and then making shows with them and what you do with those shows. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this how-to thus far. My name is Nat.
I'm Marcel.
And we'll see you in 1 week's time here on the Heritage Radio Network.
We never see you again, though. Sorry.
Nicely done, Marcel. Thanks for hanging out.